Love, Lust, and Laughter with Dr. Diana Wiley and Billy Sage, Fridays at 6 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And I'm very pleased because for the second week in a row, I have as my guest Brandon Maxwell. Hello again, Brandon.
Hello.
So today, Brandon and I, and he's going to offer the male point of view, which is so important, we're going to talk about how to improve your sexual communication skills and, of course, your ability to talk honestly and openly is the key to having a passionate sex life. And these skills can be learned and improved. You know, some people think that that this is sort of an intuitive thing, but no. Good sexual communication is learned. And I know you feel the same way, Brandon. And there's such a difference between men and women. And you said it in a nutshell in our pre-interview, and maybe you'd like to expand on it. Men use love to get sex, and women use sex to get love. But
yes,
there are different ways of communicating, and I'd like you to weigh in on this, please.
Yes, it's not exactly the, you know, the newest theory in the world, but I mean, because everyone kind of intuitively understands it from that simple statement, but it's also a matter of how you can use that knowledge to communicate better with your lover. You know, it's that we all want, everyone wants, man or woman, a woman, you know, a lover who believes in us. But understanding the core differences between how men and women feel loved is the key. Women generally feel loved through communication and time, and men through actions and desire.
And we are generalizing a little here, but
yes,
but as with many generalizations, there's a lot of truth there. So, yes, and as far as the verbal communications, I think we have to learn what to ask and how to ask it in order to improve one's love life. And all of this requires lots of honesty and patience.
What we naturally do as human beings is we communicate with others as we would like others to communicate with us.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
And it just makes complete sense. Where this gets to be a bit of a boondoggle when it comes to communicating, especially communicating about potentially difficult or ego-bruising elements, you know, the tougher parts of communication, especially where women have a tough time knowing how to communicate their needs to men, particularly sexual needs, because they're very well aware of our ego problems. our egos are very easily bruised, especially when it comes to sex. And and we're, of course, talking, another caveat is we're talking about intimacy in love relationships, intimacy when commitment is a big part of the relationship.
Yes, as far as the woman feeling like her man may be somewhat fragile in the ego department, I think there's also a fear that I know what I have now, and if I try something new, I might lose it all. Hmm. And, you know, when I hear something like this in a session, I respond this way: there can be no change without risk. But there is greater risk in making no change.
Right.
And so just go ahead and start the conversation.
Well, now, the question becomes, how do you start the conversation? If a woman's natural way of starting a conversation about, you know, sex and maybe her needs maybe not being met is to sit a man down and say, something I'd like to talk to you about, you know.
Yeah.
Right? And,
yeah.
And
a lot of men get very fearful at that
the minute you hear that as a man, you go, uh-oh. You know? And so there, you know, we're instantly put on the defensive. And so it becomes a question of how, and we can get in a minute on how a man can communicate with a woman about intimacy issues, but for a woman to communicate with a man, I always suggest that the best way is to lead with your sexual desire for him. Man,
now that's always a good idea because we want to start with the good news.
Right.
The good news first, and then his defenses are much less likely to go up.
Right. And so the best way to tell a man you love him, if this is to tell him how you sexually desire him, you desire sex from him,
mm-hmm.
It's an action-led thing that men immediately open up to and respond to. However, on a woman's side, if you did the same thing, it doesn't communicate as well. Women, and again, we're generalizing here, but the
mm-hmm.
best
mm-hmm.
way to tell a woman you love her is to listen to her and that you desire to give your time and attention to her, to show her that. So in a way we're very similar. It's showing your emotions rather than talking about them is a great way to lead into talking about it. And so you gotta, if you will, feather the nest first. And for a woman, this means rather than, let's say if you're a man and you've got issues, some kind of intimacy issues with a woman, too much sex, too little sex, etc., I suggest that the way to go into it is not to just sit her down and talk to her about it, but to show her you love her in a way that communicates to her. And many men make the mistake of just, you know, actions first, but in a sexual way, whereas sexual actions leading first with women don't work.
Women often need what I call emotional foreplay, and that can start in the if
That's
a couple is living
question.
Together in the morning with a man being nice. And there's some research that shows that men who help with housework and do things, loving things and practical things, get more sex. The woman feels like it's fair. So emotional foreplay is really important. The woman saying, in effect, make love to me in my ear. Say the words.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you run into the issue as well that some men aren't very good at communicating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny,
mm-hmm.
From a man's perspective, if a man, you know, goes and out and you know does the honey-do list, etc. In many ways, he's telling her, "I love you. I'm going
That's
to do
right.
these things,"
mm-hmm.
and he's telling her through actions. And that is the most common way men communicate their love. Now, the problem, of course, it becomes when in relationships when these behaviors begin to be taken for granted.
Oh, that's, the emotional undernourishment.
Right. I mean, in the best way to communicate, you know, with a man, you know, who is doing things, who's making a concerted effort to do things like that, is, you know, to do behaviors, et cetera, is to behave back to him in a way that appeals to him. Not even necessarily to tell him too, but to lead with behaviors back is what one thing I suggest. And of course you women naturally want to communicate and talk about, you know, about things, and you do that too, but it's a matter that I think what we're talking about is that you don't completely change your behaviors for another person or your natural inclinations, but to consider how they're going to interpret it. Men interpret certain, you know, words and behaviors different than women and vice versa.
Yeah, and you know, the change first principle is really important here too. Don't try to change the other person. Change yourself.
Yes.
You know, I've discovered that the couples who are most successful in learning to have a passionate relationship, whether they're married or not, with wonderful emotional and physical intimacy, are motivated to make a change or changes in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, if they change, then the dynamic changes. If the person changes, then the dynamic changes, and then the other person is likely to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
It'll change the dynamic of the relationship.
Well, I think that what happens in so many relationships with intimacy issues, especially, mm-hmm. you know, when you have children and responsibilities and work, and especially with both people working, mm-hmm. as it happens in most families, there's just not a lot of time to,
mm-hmm.
to and there becomes a kind of a block that happens between men and women, and it becomes kind of a war of attrition. Neither is interested in being really the first one to behave in a giving manner, because there's resentment toward the other one, and they feel like, well, I'm already being taken for granted. If I
mm-hmm.
give more,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if a man says, if I give her more of my time and my attention, I'm still not going to get sex. Where, and from a woman's perspective, if I give him sex, he's still not going to give me more time and attention and really, you know, spend that important, intimate time together. And so, and when that blockage happens, it's my personal opinion that a woman has more power to change that behavior, that dynamic, than a man. Yet a man has more responsibility to change that. It may not.
So
be
Brandon,
very clear.
I want you to expand on that thing. But I want to just say again that I'm speaking with Brandon Maxwell. He was with me last week, and he was talking about his DVD, which really is a helpful DVD. Should we make the same offer we made last week, which is that we'll give away your DVD to the first caller who has a question or a comment about what we're talking about today? Improve your sexual skills, sexual communication skills, communication, talk, touch. So should we say that, Brandon?
Sure.
Okay.
The Maxwell Multiple Climax DVD is
yeah.
a great way to open up that communication to men in a very visual way.
it really is. And talk, for those who did not hear last week's show, talk, just give an overview of your award-winning DVD, and people can also go to climaxwell.com to read more about it.
Yes.
About your DVD.
It's very briefly, it teaches men how to achieve tantric multiple orgasms in a very clear and way that is enjoyable to watch and to learn. It's shot on film and mastered in high def. It uses, you know, animations and humor to get its message across, to provide a comfortable place to learn something that really often has not really been, in my opinion, taught very well. And it's been taught well in several books, but men, you know, like to see movies instead of read books.
Yeah, that's for sure. They tend to be way more visual.
Yes,
than women.
This is a new approach to teaching something that's thousands of years old. That's all.
And it's just done so well, and it's really fun and so educational.
Well, I was lucky enough to, I actually put it into several film festivals, and it won a Best of the Fest award at the Beverly Hills High Def Film Festival, which was
which was
good, and has won a couple of other awards that I want to tout at Torn. But go to climaxwell.com if you want to see a trailer of the film and get a better idea and hear some people talking about it, how it's changed their relationships.
It has changed a number of my clients' lives.
Well, thank you.
When they learn how to control their ejaculation and even have multiple orgasms.
Well, most men don't even believe it's possible, and it is quite not only possible, it's pretty easy when you really have the steps down and you know what to do. Many sources hadn't really given very specific soup-to-nuts instruction about it, and this does. So I hope.
I hope people will go back if they haven't heard last week's show on November the 1st, I guess it was. Yeah. So then you'll get the some of the details about this, like having a lighter grip when a man masturbates on his penis and. Mm-hmm. There's some really good suggestions on the breathing. And, of course, the best of all is to get his DVD and watch it.
Well,
and
we went through last week, we went through step one of the three steps. And I so that men could try and get an idea of what I'm teaching and then go into step two and three from there on the film. But, you know, what's interesting is that women are supposed not to have so much desire for sex as men. And I actually challenge that, and I think you do too.
I do.
Men don't like sex more than women as much as they... it's that women... I mean, after all, you know, women's orgasms are in general... before men learn to become multi-orgasmic, women's orgasms last longer, and they often can have more than one, and they can have multiple different kinds of orgasms. So one would think that with all those orgasmic benefits that women naturally have over men, that women would want sex more, but the fact is they don't, because it takes women longer, naturally, to get warmed up to sex.
You know, this is a very important point that, and research has shown, that it takes women between 17 to 20 to even 30 minutes for her to begin to feel aroused enough, and she needs to be the one to signal for penetration.
Mm-hmm.
So that what's happened to her vagina physiologically is that the entrance thickens, the top part of it balloons a little bit, and the uterus above the cervix lifts up and away. And when she's really aroused, the vagina can elongate from 4 inches to 7 inches. So then that allows for deeper thrusting and more pleasure, because some women can have orgasms when the penis is hitting the cervix, and it makes for a more full body orgasm. Kind of, it may be blended with the hitting the G spot or stimulating the G spot in some way. And typically, clitoral stimulation is a little more local, nonetheless very pleasurable, but it may not be quite as full body.
Mm-hmm. Which points to how arousal in women is much more complex.
Yeah.
And that's not just physically more complex, mentally more complex.
Yeah.
And it's something that many men don't really fully understand, or if they understand it conceptually, they don't know how to behave, you know, in an arousing way towards women. And they don't fully appreciate how long and mental, you know, how long it can take a woman to achieve arousal, and how that the mental component must first with most women, not with all. I mean, you know, this again, we're generalizing, but how women, you know, need time to warm up and become interested. And I think that what happens in many relationships is that this means that women don't initiate sex as much as men, or as often. And many men in love relationships begin to feel taken for granted, or begin to feel like, I'm always having to initiate. And what, how does that, you know, women aren't doing that to diss men. It's that they're not thinking about sex biologically as much as we are. But men begin to feel rejected. Of course, I mean, this is no huge news, but what's fascinating about it is how this sense of rejection has, in a way, I think, been discounted in partially by the negative side of feminism, which is to say that a man's desire is just, oh, he just wants sex. That's all he wants. That's all men want is sex, right? That
yeah.
kind of dismissive attitude towards men's, you know, desire for sex.
I think it's damaging. I think mm-hmm. it's very damaging because then it interferes with a woman's having enough confidence to occasionally initiate.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a turn on for most men. If the woman can say, yeah, I'm feeling hot for you.
Oh, it is the number one. It is not only a turn on for us. There's increasing evidence that when in a committed relationship, when a woman behaves, you know, desirous, the more desirous she behaves, you know, even just saying, just give me a quick, I want to be taken right now, that tells a man that she loves him. That tells all of us how strong, I mean, more than looking into a man's eyes and saying, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic. Now we have the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man just, you know, you know, telling a woman, hey, let's do it right now. That doesn't tell a woman that you love her. It
mm-hmm.
tells her that, especially in this day and age, that you're horny. Now, that isn't that funny? A woman telling a man, I just want to rip your clothes off, that tells a man you love him.
Mm-hmm.
Other
mm-hmm.
way around, and it doesn't.
So we're really talking about different kinds of turn-ons. And when we were talking off the air, I thought you made a very good point that if a woman wraps herself in saran wrap and meets mm-hmm. her lover at the door, maybe with a dildo or a sex toy in each hand, that's going to be a real turn-on. A man wrapping himself in saran wrap, not so much.
Right. What are you doing, Harry?
Yeah.
and
Harry, and then your hands are smashed up against the saran wrap.
It's funny, but it is absolutely true. So I think the bottom line is that if we better understand how the opposite sex views how to express love to the opposite sex, it's not that we should completely change how we communicate, because you can't. I mean, men will always want, desire sex to in a committed relationship as an expression of woman's love for him, and women will always desire a man's attention and time and as an expression of love for her, and need that in order to begin to feel aroused. So it becomes a question of slanting the way you communicate to the opposite sex, or how better put it, leading. It's not that you change how you communicate, but you lead with what the other person really wants. A man who wants to have sex, his lover to desire him more and to have sex with her, should lead with giving her more time and attention, you know, versus the saran wrap at the door. What is a woman's greatest turn on upon coming home would be to come home and find the kids are off at Uncle Harry's, and there's a, you know, a beautiful dinner has been made for her, or ordered out, whatever it is, candlelight wine and a foot rub, if you will.
That's all part of the emotional foreplay, because it shows that her man is taking time, just as you say, it's so important, and planning something nice for her.
That says I love you.
It does.
And there's nothing that will turn a woman on towards having sex than those expressions, that time, that effort. And it doesn't even have to be as complicated as I was just saying. I mean, it can even be simple. Hey, honey, let's go take a walk together. Just spending time, even, you know, let's go shopping, you know, whatever. Just that giving opens up the door. Now, to a woman to want to give sex, to be aroused to give sex to a man, on the other hand, you know, a woman who wants more intimacy from a man, more communication from a man, the smartest way is to greet him at the door and ravage him. Because after that, in a committed relationship, what you'll find is that if the man's a complete boob, you know, you're going to sit together post-coitally and talk. And a good man will. And he'll feel more intimacy towards a woman. And then that kind of communication will open up. Now, the question becomes then, you know, when you have a relationship and you have this kind of war of attrition where neither feels, you know, both feel taken for granted and neither feels like the one to initiate this behavior, how do, you know, who should initiate first? And how do you initiate? You know, how do you get the gumption up? You know, and that's a good question. Who do you think should initiate first?
Well, you know, traditionally, it's the man. He's the leader. I'm saying in traditional things. But the way he does it is essential. And I think that both people have to have a good amount of confidence, both personal confidence and sexual confidence. It takes some practice for some women, particularly young women, to feel enough confidence to initiate. But it's just so sexy for a woman to say, geez, I'm just feeling really hot for you, and let's do something about that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a turn-on for most men. Mm-hmm. Unless he lacks confidence and always wants to be the leader. But most men are evolved enough that they're going to be happy to have a sexually confident woman who's hot for them, who is desirous of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right. I think that men, in many ways, it's up to men to man up. If you have a difficulty in your relationship and you're not getting any intimacy, I think that is incumbent upon a man to open the door. And there are different competing viewpoints. I'll tell you why it might be incumbent upon a woman after this, in my opinion. But I think it is, you know, up to a man to bring romance, if it's lost in a relationship, to bring romance back in.
And, yes.
And if in fact, and communication, and to lead with giving a woman, if you've lost communication, if you've lost intimacy, I tell men, look, if you're not getting sex, don't just blame your wife for it. Ask yourself first what you might be doing or not doing.
That's such a good point, Brandon. Thank you for that. That's right.
And then, you know, hey, we men are people of action, supposedly. I mean, that's what we want you women to believe. And in many ways, I think we really are. So man up and behave differently. You know, do the thing, you know, take time, you know, away from work, even if you don't want to take a walk and you know, go shopping with your wife, or, you know, or take her out to dinner on a date. Well, you know what? You may not want to, but too bad. Man up. Do it. And then I suggest to men to do this for 2 or 3 weeks. Don't talk about what you want in return. Don't expect anything in return. Just do it.
Just do it.
And then
And that's
see.
What we have to do right now. We have to go to a break.
Okay.
And we will return after the break to talk more about improving your sexual communication skills with Brandon Maxwell, my guest for the second time in a row. So pleased to have you with us, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll go to the break now. Stay with us, and we'll be back with more talk. Hello, we're back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm here with Brandon Maxwell, and we are talking about sexual communication because it is one of the most challenging and most essential aspects of a relationship. So we want to talk to you about learning what to ask and how to ask to improve one's sex life. We want to share this with you, and I'm thinking, Brandon, that we should get on to touching because every woman and man is unique in terms of how they like to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if one has a wealth of sexual experience, that person may not quite understand how this particular partner feels because some enjoy rough play, some gentle, goes on and on and on. And I think, and I want to get your reaction to this, that it's often a good thing to begin by touching your partner gently. And while you're doing so, you know, you might ask what they like. Do you enjoy having your nipples squeezed? Do you like your neck nibbled? Is this enough pressure on your clitoris? Are deep thrusts comfortable for you? You know, it can be endless sorts of questions. But maybe done better, some of it could be done in the moment, but some of these questions should be done when people are out of bed.
Well, I think if there's a problem, I mean, if you sense that there's an issue, a particular problem, that talking about it out of bed, especially for a woman talking to a man out of bed about it,
mm-hmm.
Is extremely useful, and I think better than talking about it in bed. You know,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
there something that, you know, hey, I noticed that X or Y might be, you know, going on here, and you know, what you know, am I right? Is there a problem? Now, very often, men are very uncomfortable talking about such things, and they might initially, you know, many men go, no, there's no problem. No. And in which case, if a man doesn't want to communicate verbally about it, then there might be ways that you can use touching to try different things. I mean, men are pretty, you know, what they like and what they don't. They're fairly, you know, a woman needs to look at the way a man's body responds, need only, you know, to different things to find out whether he likes it or not. And of course, you get the standard stoic man who doesn't, you know, respond at all. But I think that's just an image. I think most men are pretty good at nonverbal communication.
I like to have my couples do as homework assignment the body tour, to take turns giving a tour of one's own body. And the man, if the woman is giving a tour of her body from the top of her head to the tip of her toes, she might put his hand over hers and indicate how she likes to be touched in a certain part of her body.
I think that's, you know, that's perfect. I think it's wonderful because there you were communicating in a physical sense and, you know, versus talking about it. I mean, I'm just, my visceral response as a man is I would much rather a woman I'm actually personally very interested in a woman telling me what she wants at the same time. I mean, but
that's because you have a highly evolved feminine side and you're a writer,
right? Exactly,
and a filmmaker.
So yeah, I mean,
so you have more words than maybe some men do.
Yes. And I'm okay, far more okay with words being, you know, spoken to me about these kinds of things. But there's some really good, you know, important information there for men. If your wife or your girlfriend does not seem, you know, something makes her, if she seems to be in pain, you know, during intercourse, or she, you know, during oral sex, she you know, gets that terrible ticklish kind of feeling instead of having orgasm, which is a very, you know, common problem.
And it usually means she's not aroused enough.
Right. And then, you know, then ask her about, I mean, women are far more okay to be asked about it than men are, you know, and men need to just, you know, don't just soldier on. Ask her, because women are a little more, in general, again, generalizations here, you know, okay with being. In fact, it'll make her feel like you recognize. It means, hey, you're not just into your own pleasure, you are recognizing my pleasure and where it maybe not be there where it should.
That is so important. And the other thing is that as a man asks, he needs to be sure and really listen, because the woman wants to feel heard. I can't tell you the number of times over the 30 years I've been doing this work where I've heard a woman say, you know, I mentioned to my husband several times that I don't like rough breast play. It doesn't feel good. I don't like to have my nipples tweaked. And yet he continues to do that. So it's a frustrating feeling for a lot of women that the lover, you know, maybe she wasted her time letting a partner know, and then have him just forget it. It's kind of dismissive. And
it's extreme. Agreed. It is extremely dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listening is a real problem. You know, that we men have. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You know, we really, our listening skills are often quite challenged, and this goes to the fact that, you know, if you wanted to communicate better, if you want to get more intimacy, either in terms of if you're a man, if you're thinking about a sex, have more sex, or if you're a woman and you want more intimacy, and that is you want more communication, you need to communicate in ways yourself that the other person is going to figure out. So if I were a woman, and I had told my man several times that I don't like rough, you know, sex, you know, and I don't like my nipples tweaked, et cetera, I would suggest something. This maybe sounds like a very challenging thing to do, but I would physically communicate back to the man. How about a little bit of rough sex play around the genitals, specifically around the sensitive area of the testes? You know, that hurts. I mean, I'm not suggesting you do something that injures a man, but
no,
you know,
I wouldn't say that
at all. But I mean, you might say, hey, what if I, you know, squeezed your nuts? How would you feel? I mean, and you didn't like it. I mean, imagine what it would do for your arousal. I mean, you know, it's terrible. So put it into physical terms. You know, I'm not saying
that maybe the man can get.
Well,
I think,
you know,
the woman has to be a little careful, though, because, yeah, indeed, she doesn't want to injure him.
No, you don't want to, and a man's, you know, is more easily injured than a woman's breasts are, I mean, from too much. So you have to be careful there, and I'll go back on that. But my point is, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to do a, you know, tit for tat kind of thing, as it were. But sometimes, you know, a little bit of physical, you know, maybe the answer would instead be to squeeze a man's nipple for a moment. Gee, hey, that hurts. Yes, it does hurt, doesn't it?
But of course, some men like that, and others don't.
But that's,
and that's why you've got
to
communicate
to him. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it leads to communicating, you know, I think it's effective for, you know, that's what I would tell the woman who has told her man several times and he continues to do it. You know, that physical thing might get through to him. For our part, we men really need to communicate a little bit more clearly. So what we're really talking about is learning, looking at how your lover is going to interpret things. I mean, before the break, I talked briefly, if we don't mind by going back to this.
Of course, I want you to, yes.
To the idea that a man needs to, you know, who initiates? If you've got, you know, communication issues and you've lost your intimacy in your relationship, you know, in general, whose responsibility is it to bring it back? Well, some might say a man because, you know, and I certainly say that in many ways because, you know, chances are you are not giving your woman, and if she's not giving you enough sex, chances are you're not giving her enough time and attention.
Oh, yes.
Now, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, another great radio host, she maintains that it is a woman's responsibility.
I know she does.
Lead with that because she says these are, she calls this an emotional issue, and that women, she suggests that women are more emotionally intelligent than men, therefore it is more incumbent upon a woman to do that. And what she has suggested many times on her show that it was to give a man more sex for a couple of weeks. And, you know, same kind of thing I was saying about a man, you know, to men, you know, and women called up all, you know, all the time and said, oh my God, I tried what you said. And suddenly he started being more attentive. You know?
Exactly. So she also says, stop nagging at your man.
Mm-hmm.
Give him lots of sex and stop nagging.
Yes.
It'll do wonders for the marriage.
Well, and I think it does. I mean, I think that essentially, you know, the point is that there's a little bit something she didn't talk about, which was to do this without immediate expectation of a return.
Yes.
Do it just for the givingness of it. And with... what she found was that, you know, and then her callers would call back and they would say, oh my God, I can't believe this worked. I thought my husband was such a boob that he was no way he was gonna start giving me more attention. I thought he was just gonna completely take it for granted. And no, it didn't happen. I mean, he said, you know, he started taking these, you know, but maybe these were just smarter men than, you know. But I think that men, look, women are more emotionally intelligent than men, and so in some ways they should lead the way. However, I think, and we do learn, men, we men learn to communicate better from you guys. I mean, we really do, and we become less boobs by listening to you and you know, letting you take point in emotional ways. But I still think, you know what? Here's the bottom line. The best of relationships is when two people are giving more than they have to, no matter the relationship, whether it's a friend, whether it's a working environment, or whether it's intimacy in bed and in lovers. If two people are giving more than they have to, each ends up giving less than they would having to give less than they would otherwise.
I like how you put that, Brandon, and there's the opposite side of that coin in that, well, I think sometimes that the essence of love is not wanting anything from the other but pleasure. Well, how do you get to that place? It takes a while, but I think being confident and playful can really help with the pleasure. It bring out the playmate in us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think a woman who has the ability to evoke the playful boy
mm-hmm.
in her man is really a lucky woman, because the truly sexy woman evokes not an image of herself in the mirror, but the image of the man she stimulates as a laughing boy. So then, guess what? He loves her for the way she makes him feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And... That's really nice if, you know, we just want pleasure from the other person, because in our daily lives, everyone wants something from us. So imagine being in love with and having as a sexual partner a person who only wants to laugh, to touch, to make us feel good. What a relief. And
well,
wouldn't you do anything for such a person?
I think that we each, I mean, in different ways, the sexes can, you know, it's so easy in long-term relationships to take each other for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It's so human. It's so
mm-hmm.
natural. And I think that it, you know, if the first thing, if you are listening to this and you feel like you are taken for granted by your lover or your husband or your wife, the first thing to do is get off the cycle of blaming them.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself what you yourself can do, you know, may have done to start your lover taking you for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Take responsibility for your own behaviors first. Now, I suggest this first because, you know, every relationship is an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no one-sided relationship. It doesn't exist, especially in marriage and intimacy. Just,
mm-hmm.
You know, so if you as a man up and say, okay, what? You know, instead of blaming your wife for not giving you sex, you ask yourself, well, yeah, I know what women are about. You know, she wants my time and attention. Is it possible that I have stopped giving her my time and attention? And to really ask yourself that and consider that, whether that's possible. Inevitably, I mean, you know, unless you've married a complete psycho, inevitably, you have stopped giving that. And then what so search yourself first.
And that's being accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Stop
mm-hmm.
with the blaming and be accountable.
Mm-hmm. And on the woman's side, if a woman feels like her man doesn't give her enough attention and time, ask yourself, when's the last time you initiated sex?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, unless the man is a complete psycho, you and they're out there, but you know, you have not initiated sex for a very long time. Now, the natural response is, well, I would initiate sex if he just gave me more time and attention. Well, again, you know, try leading the way. I mean, you could ask a man to do it, but it's probably not going to work as well as actions. Just like on the other side, if you're a man and you're, you know, you could asking a woman for more sex doesn't work very well. Honey, we don't have enough sex. You know, she's probably going to look at you and say, well, you know, I don't have enough time and da 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 da. But if you lead with behaviors, your own behaviors first, rather than expecting the other person's behaviors to change, lead with yours, then you have a major advantage. If you do this for 2 or 3 weeks, whether you're a man, you know, giving more attention and time, or a woman deciding to initiate sex, if you do this and your lover does not respond in any way, their behavior does not change, then you have, in 2 or 3 weeks, the door to open, you know, the room to open dialogue and say, you know what, I really have been trying something for the past few weeks, and you are just going off as if, you know, going on as if nothing happened. But you know what? Inevitably, inevitably, that's a rare thing to happen. What couples find, and they are consistently amazed about, is that when they initiate more, you know, and not expecting any return, but just doing it for the act of doing it for several weeks, it's like magic. The other person, again, if they've married, the other person begins to feel, you know, a woman begins to feel more attention and time, and it begins to act far more nurturingly and becomes more aroused. And the next thing a man knows is, after a couple of dates out, if they haven't really dated in a while, but, you know, and having that attention, that the woman miraculously wants to have sex with him.
One of our presenters, I've just returned from Texas, where we had a Quad S annual meeting, Quad S Scientific Society for Study of Sexuality, and one of our presenters pointed out something that is very true. And that is that couples that have sex once or twice a week do so much better than couples who have sex once a month or once every 2 months. If you're having that much time between sexual activity, you know, once a month, once every 2 months, your bodies kind of forget how you respond to each other, or you possibly
especially
can.
For a woman, is what you're talking about, yes.
Yes, yes. Mm. And but then again, for a man too, because erections are good for erections. Now,
yeah,
maybe he's masturbating, and maybe he's masturbating to porn, but when keeping his erectile, but tuning in to his actual live partner, his flesh and blood partner, is pretty important. You know, I think something that happened in April of 1998 illustrates this, some aspect of this, and that's when Pfizer got approval for Viagra in April of 1998.
Oh, yes.
And there were a lot of Viagra divorces, and that's because, the man was so thrilled, now he could get it up again. And he wanted to have intercourse with his perhaps perimenopausal or menopausal wife, and she would look at him often and say, "You've got to be kidding. You haven't been nice to me for years."
Right.
And then, of course, her vagina has dried up without, possibly because of lack of hormones, estrogen and testosterone, and
it's the old use it or lose it.
Absolutely.
It's true of all parts of the body.
All parts of the body.
And the mind.
The mind.
Alzheimer's is being linked to people who, there was a great famous study among nuns, those who didn't keep their mind lubricated and were not thinking and reading and writing, tended to suffer from Alzheimer's, I think it was a 30 to 40% increase, depending on how much you use. So it's all use it or lose it, and it's the same with intimacy now, isn't it? It's use it or lose it. Be intimate with your partner in ways he or she understands, or lose your partner. And it's a terrible thing. I mean, you were talking about sex every couple of months. There are way too many marriages out there where, and the men talk to me about this. I mean, I can't tell you how often where there hasn't been sex for 2 years.
And then the wife is surprised when he might go out and have an affair.
Of course, or sees prostitutes or whatever, or becomes addicted to internet porn. They call it addicted. All of these, and part of the problem, again, is that, and I don't blame women, they think that it's all just about sex, but they don't understand that men, for a man in an intimate committed relationship, or supposedly intimate, but for a man in a committed relationship, his partner's interest in sex in him tells him that he is loved, and he expresses love far better if he feels loved. And it's the same thing with women, going back, I won't repeat it again, but so the trick to solving intimacy issues is always, I suggest, express love in ways your partner is going to interpret, and don't do it necessarily in ways that you do. You interpret love. Understand that the opposite sex operates in a different way.
Yeah, so you're saying express the love in the way that your partner can really get it, can really understand
it. Or at least lead with that. As I'm suggesting, initiate your own behaviors in ways, men, take more time for intimacy with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And, take her out, do things, give her your time and your attention. Women, give your man your body and your desire for him. Lead with those things, and you will be amazed, how quickly a man starts, a man whose wife hasn't had sex with him in 2 years and then decides to want to have sex with him, even just once a week, it's going to be a whole nother ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same on the other. If a woman, if a man feels that he hasn't had sex in 2 years, if he starts taking his wife out on dates, you might be surprised, take her to it. There was that, I don't know if anybody saw that South Park, a couple of weeks ago. They had a hilarious thing where, we're getting, oral sex from your wife was linked to, to going to take her to a Broadway show.
Ah.
It's a hilarious South Park, and I just thought, oh my God, this is so perfect. And they took it, a step further in terms of, the humor of the show was that the entire Broadway existed to get men blowjobs. That was the purpose of Broadway, and that was everything was, you know, anyway. But the point was of the show, I mean, the thematics behind there were, it was very hilarious, but were absolutely accurate. You know, what it really was saying was, hey, do romantic things with your wife. You might get more sex.
Romantic things and practical things, and the practical things are a little easier for most men because they like to fix things and they like to be of use.
Right, but I
so again, they may have to stretch themselves a little more to be romantic, but the payoff will be there. We're coming to the end of the show. I know our producer is going to be pleased I'm paying attention because we actually stop a couple of minutes before the end, and I think last week somehow we ended up talking over the music, so I'm going to try not to repeat that again. Brandon Maxwell, you are a wonderful guest, and
Thank you.
So articulate, and I want to remind our listeners to go to climaxwell.com, and you can get his DVD there and see a trailer of it. And men use love to get sex, and women use sex to get love, and we've been talking about that and the more ways that you can get sex, whether you're a man or a woman, and by improving your sexual skills. So thank you again, Brandon Maxwell.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We'll have you back, of course. Take good care, and goodbye, everybody. I'll be back on the air next Tuesday. Bye-bye.